From Protection to Preparation, from the AfriGo magazine issue entitled Missions and Persecution, a Painful but Powerful Witness. According to the 2026 Open Doors World Watch list, 20 of the 50 countries where Christians face the most severe persecution are in Africa, with 5 sitting in the top 10. Nowhere is this reality more staggering than in Nigeria, which now accounts for a heartbreaking 72% of all faith-related Christian killings globally. Of the 4,849 believers martyred worldwide last year, 3,490 were targeted on Nigerian soil. For the African Church, hostility is no longer peripheral or a distant headline. It is the primary geographic context of modern missions. Yet, as pressure intensifies across our continent, the global church's default response relies heavily on a well-worn toolbox: immediate extraction, humanitarian aid, and high-level political advocacy. While these interventions are crucial during acute, life-threatening crises, and over-reliance on them exposes a strategic vulnerability. When our primary instinct is to evacuate or insulate, we treat persecution as a disaster to be avoided rather than a crucible where indigenous movements must learn to survive and multiply. To move forward, we must examine our current assumptions and rethink what it means to stand with the suffering church. The first step is recognizing that we often misdiagnose the nature of the pressure itself. Christian initiatives treat persecution as a monolith, failing to differentiate between its two primary dimensions, vertical and horizontal. Vertical persecution is top-down, institutional, and political. Horizontal persecution, by contrast, is sociological, communal, and relational, with the family at its center. It manifests as familial rejection, economic strangulation, and intense social isolation. When vertical persecution dominates the stage, our strategies default to advocacy and rescue. In doing so, we miss the daily lived reality of the frontline worker. Worse, applying macro-political tools to local communal wounds of persecution reduces our capacity for genuine empathy. By focusing on self-defense, safety, and physical relocation, our response can become self-centered. True missiological resilience requires a Christ-like paradigm shift. We must look past our own defense mechanisms and view the persecutor not merely as an existential threat, but as a spiritual victim blinded by hostility. As argued in my recent doctoral research, unlocking a supernatural capacity for empathy rather than retaliation requires a new model of leadership: the persecuted accompanist. When local believers and missionaries are equipped to stay as companions who suffer alongside their people rather than being extracted, they mirror Christ's posture on the cross. This posture reframes the persecutor as a soul in need of redemption, transforming a site of suffering into a frontier for the gospel. The way forward requires the African church to outgrow what can be described as a kindergarten posture that treats persecuted believers as fragile dependents who must be shielded from hardship at all costs. This mindset stunts spiritual maturity, resilience, and leadership multiplication. Instead, the church must become an equipping center, not merely issuing evacuation tickets, but instead providing the theological, emotional, and structural support required to endure, adapt, and anchor grassroots gospel movements within hostile environments. Persecution does not close doors, it refines the messengers. Let us read this issue of AfriGo as a manual for courage as we build resilient indigenous leaders capable of standing firm and extending Christ's love in the heat of the fire.